Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. This is the ZABE cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Good to be here in Milwaukee, where tonight, game two, the Pacers and the Bucks. Don't have a ticket, but I will sit courtside or at least in the first five rows if anybody needs a seat filler for tonight's game. Just kidding. I'm going to be comfortably watching on TV from home because, as Kenny Mayne once said, they don't play football games. He said they don't play football games on paper. They play them inside TV sets. All right, let's get to it. We got Steve Buckhantz to talk some NBA pilot issues. This Colorado Rockies FAA thing is hilarious. Get to that in a second. As well as the spigot being turned way down on fouls and free throws in the association, plus the TV deal that they're working on getting renewed with TNT and ESPN and others. But TikTok, let's start with that. TikTok, what you got? The Chinese-owned app is finally now in Congress's crosshairs. And it looks like they're moving in to force a sale of the company or force something with TikTok in regards to having it still be legal in the United States to be distributed via the typical app stores and download platforms, however you want to call it. You know, it's all bullshit, right? Because it's not that it's not like your congressman or congresswoman is genuinely concerned about, oh my God, the Chinese government is stealing your data. Well, yeah, duh. Guess who else is stealing your data? The United States government. And the United States government is a little bit slow on the uptick, and they're realizing, oh, shit, a lot of users on TikTok, it's the hot place, and China owns it. That's kind of bad that they're stealing all of our citizens' data. We want our citizens' data. And when people, when I say that I'm on TikTok, even though I don't produce much videos, because, I mean, it's a lot of work, and I'm never going to monetize it. There's no way. There are some TikTokers who are making great bank, but they have to really dig in and commit to putting out content, putting out content, putting out content, getting a niche, being funny, being relentless, promoting, 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 tickling the algorithm just right. But I don't really make TikTok videos, but I do enjoy watching certain what I call verticals, certain things like time-lapse cleaning and or mowing landscaping videos. Oh my God, I'll watch those all day, every day. Somebody sent me a good TikTok of this guy who goes to very overgrown yards and offers to mow and trim the yard and the walkways for free as just like a good service. Of course, they're then soliciting donations from their TikTok followers saying, hey, if you like these videos, you know, please consider donating so it helps me continue doing this work. I watched this one guy, holy shit. He mowed and trimmed the most difficult, long stretches of sidewalk that required edging and string trimming and, you know, leaf blowing and getting the debris off and then mowing the grass down, remowing it. And of course, he set up, you know, cameras with time lapses, so he went really fast. Took him all day. One man all day. Hot, miserable work, and he got paid nothing. At least not from the homeowner. The problem is, you know, that homeowner's going to just let it go back to being a fucking jungle again. So it's a very temporary fix. The neighbors, I'm sure, were thrilled for a week or two or however long. But I digress. So I will watch videos on TikTok and people say, aren't you afraid? Aren't you worried about the Chinese having your data? And I'm like, no, what can they do to me? Like, thankfully, they don't run this country yet. I'm not worried about the Chi-Coms having my data. I'm worried about Uncle Sam having my data, but I also can't stop Uncle Sam from getting that data, and I'm more worried about Mark Zuckerberg having my data. So I try to keep that data from him as best I can, although it's almost impossible. I'm really not on Facebook. I'm only on Facebook for one specific group, which is the Sunburn Bowl group, and that's it. I fucking hate the platform for so many reasons. My wife loves it, which is great. Fine. Good for her. I bet you Facebook has all my data and knows everything about me just based on my wife going on her Facebook on the same Wi-Fi address with the same IP address as me in my house. But whatever. Okay. I almost look at like data at this point as I tried to stay dry in the rain. I got wet. Now I'm soaking wet. What's the point? That said, TikTok. So what's going to happen here, and there's senators already saying, well, it's going to take a while. We're going to finally, you know, we're going to force the sale, and it's going to take some legal maneuvering, and we're not sure how to structure it with whatever U.S. company takes them over and what safeguards we can put in. It's all bullshit. It's going to be a long, haggling negotiation with the Chi-Coms over how much of the data you're stealing via TikTok do we get to access, and for what purposes, either constitutional, don't laugh, some of us still believe in the Constitution, even though it is getting trampled and completely raped on a daily basis, whether it's constitutional uses or extra constitutional or unconstitutional uses. It's a haggling. So yeah, if the U.S. does take over TikTok, now maybe I got to get out. At least when it was just China, I'm like, okay, what are they going to do? They're all the way over there. Thank God they don't run the country yet. But when they do, then I might have to log off. It's just less annoying than Twitter. It's less preachy for sure. It's more fun. It's a little bit more creative. I fucking hate the vertical video though. Oh my God, do I hate it so bad. But I put up with it just because I have to. All right, let's call our boy Steve Buckhantz and see what's going on tonight. Let's talk some airplanes. Let's talk some basketball. All right, let's call my guy. Okay, let's call my guy Buck Hance and find out what he's up to tonight.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay.
Let's see if Captain Buck is...
Hello there.
This is your captain speaking. Come in. Over. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Where are you right now? You've been sending me digital assets from the Great Southwest,
yes,
Arizona.
I'm home right now. I just got home. Today is Passover, and all Jews have a Passover Seder tonight.
I cannot believe I am impinging upon your Seder.
Well, it's over. Oh. It starts at before sundown. But before that, I was at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Facility at a golf tournament for a beautiful day of golf.
Man, you are living the life right now. So here's a hypothetical. This is a philosophic question, actually, for you. How many shrimp are too many shrimp to eat in one sitting? I'll hang up.
Are you talking about a shrimp cocktail?
No, I just bought some shrimp at the grocery store, and they were, you know, ridiculously cheap. These are large 25 to 30 count peeled and deveined shrimp, and I threw them into a fry pan with a little bit of butter and some Old Bay. But when I poured them out of the bag, I bought a pound, so it's $10 a pound, and I probably poured two-thirds of the pound in there, which equated to about a dozen shrimp. Is that too many, Buck?
A dozen is a lot.
Now, it is a lot.
I would say that if you're having shrimp cocktail, yeah, that dozen's way too many.
Okay.
And it depends what restaurant you're eating at. If you're at a place like Mastro's or the Palm, where the shrimp cocktail are huge, then you might eat maybe
three.
Four of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Or share them with somebody. But yeah, if you're having shrimp scampi or a dish with rice or something like that, then you can eat more than a half a dozen if you want to.
Good. I just wanted to check with you on that. Okay, we got lots to talk about, including the NBA's television rights deal ends at midnight tonight. The exclusive window for ESPN and TNT. And I know you as a TV man and as an NBA man, you're going to have some thoughts on that. But the story that really made me say, I got to call Buck and ask about this, was the Colorado Rockies are apparently ensnarled with the Federal Aviation Association. The FAA. Because someone filmed a social media clip of their coach, of their manager, behind the yoke of the 767. This was not even the skipper, it's the hitting coach, Hensley Mullins, and he appears to be sitting in one of the plane's two pilot seats joking around like, hey, I'm flying the plane. Now, you've been in Big Bird cockpits from flying with the NBA, but you've never sat behind the actual yoke, I trust.
I have not, while the plane has been flying.
Oh, okay. So while it's been on the tarmac, you've been allowed to sit behind there. Is that an FAA violation?
That's not an FAA violation. First of all, you need to be clear on a couple of things.
Okay. I probably got the terminology wrong.
No, you have everything correct.
Is the yoke the right term?
Yeah, the yoke is that's fine to use that. That's all fine.
Stick?
The stick, the column, whatever you want to call
it. It's not the wheel, though. I wouldn't say he was behind the wheel of a plane. Okay.
Nah, you wouldn't say that.
All right.
What you need to be clear of, what everybody needs to be clear of, is that this is different than commercial flying, okay? These are charter flights. Now, before, and then you also have to be clear on another thing, prior to 9/11, which happened in 2001. Prior to that, when I say that there were very few, if not no rules on a charter flight, there were basically no rules on a charter flight. And there still aren't many. So in other words, it's totally different than what you've experienced on a commercial flight. On a charter flight with a team, an NBA team, a baseball team, hockey, whatever, there are people walking around on taxi. Like, you know, if you walk around on taxi on a commercial flight, first of all, they'll stop the plane and you'll be admonished.
You might be kicked off. You might be put on a no-fly list. Okay.
Yeah, in this day and age, you might be. On a charter flight, guys are walking around on taxi. When a plane is getting ready to land, they may make an announcement. The flight attendants, the pilots rarely do. They may make an announcement and say, hey, we're getting ready to land, you know, take your seats. But that doesn't mean anything. There have been guys walking around on landing. There have been guys standing in the aisle when the plane is actually touching down on landing. When Michael Jordan was on the plane, he would sit in the back with us and smoke cigars. Nobody's going to tell him to put it out. Yeah. If we won, he would smoke cigars on the plane.
Oh, God, that must have stunk like hell.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant considering that you don't do that anymore. Back in the day you did, but now you don't. Right. So there aren't any rules like that. Now, having said that, it got a little bit more restrictive after 9/11 in terms of security. Like when we would get on a plane at Dulles before 9/11, nobody checked you for anything. You just took whatever you want and got on the plane. If you wanted to carry 6 bottles of water with you, you could. If you wanted to carry 4 suitcases, you could. You still can't. There's no rules against that.
What about a gun?
Well, if you had it, you could, because there were no security wands of any kind. Now, after 9/11, and again, teams don't go through airports. They go right from the tarmac onto the plane.
Yeah.
The only place you go through a checkpoint is in Canada, because you have to clear customs.
Sure.
Okay, so now if you are going through getting on a plane, after 9/11, they had what I would call a makeshift security point where you would go through a little,
metal detector?
Well, a little wagon on wheels. You would walk through it right by the plane, and they would wand you.
Okay.
It wasn't quite as stringent as it is with TSA, but it was to satisfy the government. And then you would get on. But again, you could carry whatever you wanted on there.
But once you were on, you were saying it was like Soul Plane with Snoop Dogg. Anything goes.
Yeah, pretty much. Guys weren't crazy. I mean, nobody did stuff like that. But you know, the video that the female reporter put out with Denver was cute. You know, it wasn't long. It was only about a minute. But it showed what it was inside, what the inside was like on a charter NBA flight.
Right.
And it's catered when you get on. You know, you park your car, for instance, at Dulles. You park your car 100 yards from the plane. They take your bags. You don't see your bags again until you get to the hotel. You walk onto the plane. You go to your seat.
Damn.
The players all sit up front with lots of room and reclining seats. The coaches sit in the middle with card table seating so they can review tape and look and have meetings. And everybody else sits in the back. They're all first-class seats. In fact, the placard on the Delta charters, which is what everybody flies, says Delta 757-VIP. That's what they're called.
Oh, wow, because that's how they're configured. They're configured
correct. That's
for
how they're
sports
configured.
Teams, right.
Correct. So there might be 60 seats on a plane. And they're all first-class seats, nice big leather seats.
Oh, my God.
There's generally nobody sitting next to you. Now, once social media got involved and they started putting people on the plane to take social media video and all that crap, it got a little more crowded. But before that, there was nobody sitting next to you. And everybody had their own seats. They weren't assigned, but you knew who was sitting where.
Right.
And everybody sat there every flight.
Wasn't there a rumor or a story about how Jordan always would like to sit in a certain seat to play cards in the back of the plane? And one of the Bulls players figured this out and would get on the plane ahead of Jordan, and Jordan would have to buy him out of that seat?
I hadn't heard that. It's very possible.
Okay.
I don't know what he did with Chicago. I know what he did with us. And so... And they would sit up front, and they had a card table seating up front for the guys to play cards with. And they played with $100 bills, like you and I would play with dollar bills.
Of course.
And there'd be stacks of them, stacks of them.
Yeah.
And we'd walk off the plane, and he and Ty Lue and a couple other guys would be up there playing whatever game they played. And we would walk off and get on the bus, and we would sit on the bus. Now, remember, Doug Collins was our coach. But Doug knew, you know, who was pretty much in charge. And we would get on the bus, and we would wait however long it took for them to finish their card game. We'd sat there and wait, because nobody's going to tell Michael to hurry up and finish up. They're playing cards. So, and, of course, we knew whether he won or lost. If he lost money, he'd get on the bus, and he was not happy, and he'd walk right to the back. If he won money, he'd get on and he was all smiles. He'd have a cigar. He'd smoke. He'd light that and walk to the back, you know, real happy. So, but we'd wait there for as long as it took. And that was just the way it was, you know, and everybody knew that.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
What a way to travel. I'm looking right now, Buck, at a photo from SI of Jordan and the Bulls players playing cards in the aisle. Just leaned over their seats. I knew this photo existed, but yes, it's SI Vault. So look it up. Jordan plays cards
now,
on the team plane.
Now, do you on your podcast, which we're doing now? Do you send out photos, or do you have the ability? Is it video?
No,
do you still video?
No.
It?
Sometimes I'll do video clips. Tonight I'm not doing it. Why?
Okay, because I have a picture of me sitting in the cockpit. In the captain's seat, but it's on the ground. We're not flying.
Okay.
Now,
all right, so
I used to go into the cockpit all the time when we flew.
Right. Now,
all the time.
Let me just
sat in the cockpit.
Let me tell people that Buck is now getting his pilot's license back.
I've had it. I just have to get current again. That's all. You got to get checked out.
Got to get current. And you're a huge aviation fanatic. You turned me on to FlightAware, which is a great app where you can literally see what planes are over your dumb head anywhere in the world.
They don't have to be over your head. They can be anywhere.
Well, that's true, right. But, I mean, as we were playing golf and you're like, yeah, it looks like a 777 Etihad Airlines headed towards Abu Dhabi. And I was like,
exactly.
The fuck do you know that? And you show me your phone. You're like, right here on this app. And I was like, okay, I got to get that. Download.
Right.
So great. Okay, so the thing about the cockpit and these modern aircraft, there was no danger of Hensley Mullins crashing the plane. Zero. But you can't fuck around like that, even on a charter plane. You got to have some respect for, you can come in, ask a question or two, but don't touch anything and don't sit in the seat, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the rules are, but I'm sure that the FAA has a rule against that. And I would guess that the airline, and I don't know what airline they fly, but again, all the NBA teams fly Delta for the most part, unless you have your own plane, like Mark Cuban, when he owned the Mavericks, has his own plane and a couple other teams. But 90% of the NBA teams fly a Delta charter, and they're 757s. And no, they would never, when I say never, I guess they did, but the pilots let the guy get in the captain's seat when the plane was on autopilot and sit there. Now, you say he couldn't have crashed the plane. If he was demented in some fashion and wanted to do something and knew where the autopilot switch was to turn it off, which is doubtful, he didn't look like he knew anything about flying, then he could have done that. Now,
He would have had to, first of all, disabling autopilot. It's not just one switch, is it?
It is one switch.
Okay. Now, if I'm designing it, I'd make you do switch, toggle, button in a certain sequence.
No, they don't do that because if in an emergency, you want to dislodge the, turn the autopilot off so that you can fly the plane.
Okay. But
and you want to do it quickly.
All right. But you're at 30,000 feet. Let's assume they're at cruising altitude or even higher, right? What do they cruise at for these 757s?
Well, it depends which direction you're going and what the weather is. Yeah, it could be 40. Yeah, pretty much not going to be much over 40,000 feet.
Below 50, but above 30. Okay. So at that altitude, even if, jackass hitting coach decided to, this is it, the team can't hit, I want to end it all for all of us, and then plunged the yoke straight down, couldn't the other pilot take control of the plane with a switch or two and disable the left stick just like the right stick can do the same? Can't either side overrule the other?
No. Oh. So if he knew where the autopilot switch was and he dislodged it or turned it off, disabled it, and now was flying the plane, so he would hit that quickly, and then he would force the, as you call it, yoke forward violently, and the plane would feel like you were on a roller coaster at that point.
Right.
And you'd experience some G-forces. Now, at that point, the pilot who was sitting in the co-pilot seat, who was there, because you could see it in the video, he would wrestle, the control column, as we call it, back. He would pull back on it to try to get it out of the nosedive.
To counteract. Yeah. You can't override it, but it sort of averages out, right?
Right. Yeah, and he would try to wrestle it back. And in the meantime, somebody now would be in that left-hand seat with their arms around the guy's neck.
Right. But, hopefully ripping him out of there forcibly, but it would be a harrowing minute or so while that airplane plunged. For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
And so, that's against the rules. Now, when I went into the cockpit, again, pre-9/11, it was never an issue. And I went a few times. The reason I was able to go pre-9/11 was the plane that we flew was owned by Abe Poland, who owned the Wizards and the Capitals. And he had his own 737, and they only had a couple of pilots that flew this plane. They were based out of Winston-Salem because it was, in effect, a Piedmont plane, but he owned it, 737, an old 737. And we flew on it, the Caps flew on it, and Georgetown basketball flew on it. And there were only a couple of different sets of pilots, and I got to be very friendly with them, and they would let me sit up in the cockpit. Now, I didn't do anything crazy. I sat in the jump seat, and they would give me little chores to do, like operating the temperature inside the plane. And at one point, and I love these guys. They were great pilots and good guys. And at one point, they were letting me operate the radio, which was phenomenal. For me, it was fantastic.
All right. Give me Steve Buckhant's announcer voice doing the radio, which is the radio back to the control towers, not the in-airplane cabin radio.
Correct. It was back to the air traffic control, the ATC.
Okay.
So if we were on the ground and his plane was they used to keep it at BWI, and the aircraft number for that plane was November 737 AP, which stood for Abe Poland.
Right.
So I would call up and I'd say, Baltimore ground, November 737 Alpha Papa is ready to taxi. And, you know, with the weather, and they assign the weather with different, it changes every 15 minutes. So I'd say with Bravo, which would be the current weather.
Nice. That's
and
fantastic.
They come back and say, November 737 Alpha Papa, taxi Alpha, Bravo 6 to runway 15. And then I'd say, Roger, and I repeat, you always repeat it.
Right, then when
we get in the air, I'd call in it as well. Now, one time we were flying into Chicago, and the weather was real bad, and Chicago is a very busy place. And it was a little overwhelming, and I just said, take it. You guys take it. I didn't want to get involved in that. But okay. It was fun.
Nice.
It was a blast.
Nice. Yeah, that's good stuff. Now, if exit question on this. If you, let's say, God forbid, there was an airplane situation like the movie, the great comedy movie, Leslie Nielsen, the Zucker Brothers.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say both pilots fell ill because of bad fish on the plane.
Yeah.
And you...
they all had fish.
And you had to land a modern 757. Could you do it with help and coaching from ATC?
Probably. I mean, it's not... The flying part is easy, as we learned from 9/11. You can fly the plane. It's not hard. But it is...
Well, the landing it is the hardest part.
Correct. Landing it is the hardest part, and especially a big plane like that, because those big planes, they go by speed. I mean, that's how the pilots fly it. They fly it by speed, airspeed. Whereas when I fly a Cessna 172, you can feel the aircraft, and you fly it by speeds as well, but you can feel it. In a big plane, you don't feel anything, especially up in the cockpit. You can't hear the engines. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
You're flying it by certain air speeds. And so you have to really, really, like when you come in, you can't be flying more than 150 miles an hour, you know, and you got to be able to keep the plane level and descend it at a certain rate. And yeah, if I had help, I think I could probably get it down, especially at a place like Dulles where the runway is 11,000 feet long. So you have plenty of, you know, room to get the plane down. But it would be a challenge, no question,
for me, or
anybody else.
Would you be sweating bullets?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've flown in a simulator before where I've flown a DC-9 and a 737.
And I
was sweating in that, and that's a simulator.
Did you get it down all right?
One time I crashed it coming into National Airport.
Ash, Captain speaking, I overshot the runway just a bit. We're currently in the Potomac, but you're going to want to just get out to your left side. It's a little bit shallower water there. You're going to get a little bit muddy. We'll have your bags out there to the carousel in just a little bit. Over.
But the simulators are amazing. I mean, they are absolutely 100% realistic. It's phenomenal.
All right. Incredible. All right, let me pivot to the NBA. Playoffs going on right now.
I'm watching the Knicks
games.
Game right now, yep. Knicks and Sixers.
So here's what's amazing to me, and Buck, you obviously know the NBA very well from having called it for so many years, but you also love being aficionado of officiating.
Absolutely.
You are a referee aficionado. You're fair, but you're tough. You're tough.
I used to referee, and that's why. I watch the game really through a referee's eyes as opposed to a play-by-play guy that maybe has never experienced actually officiating a game.
Right. Okay, so here's what's amazing is that post-All-Star break, the spigot has been turned way down on the number of fouls and free throws league-wide.
Uh-huh.
And it is really an interesting thing that the NBA clearly made a decision that they wanted to do, and it could really affect the outcome of this year's race to the finals and who is there and who wins the championship. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't think, Zabe, and you'd have to look at the numbers. I don't have them, and
I've,
I don't know.
I've
even
got them in front of me. There was a huge outlier game in which the Celtics and Bucks played a game with only two free throws. Total.
Okay.
Total.
Right. But I don't think, as far as the players is concerned, and maybe not in the exact numbers, but philosophically, there's not a great chance. Every year, the point is, every year, the officials let them play in the playoffs. This is not new. What we're seeing right now is not new.
Okay, but
every year
this started,
it's more physical, and
right,
they let them play.
But this started right after the All-Star break. Fouls are down for each team in games an average of almost two a game from 19 and a half to 17 and a half. That's not insignificant. And free throws are down from 22 and a half to about 20 per team. So, you know, you might say, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. It's a significant, it's an observable statistical difference. I see it just watching the NBA in terms of, wow, that's a lot of contact. Nothing? All right, play on.
Right, play on. Let them play.
Do you like that? Do you think it's going to lead to a overall better product or no?
I've been saying it for years, Abe. I wish that they would call the games during the regular season like they do in the playoffs. I've been saying that for years. And I like it a lot more because and the reason they do it is simple. Two reasons. One, they don't want to disrupt the game. And, you know, they want more offense. The league has always been geared toward giving the advantage to the offensive player in every facet there is. It's always been geared that way. And two, they don't want to, whether it's the beginning of a game, middle of a game, and clearly the end of a game, they don't want to have the game decided by a referee's call. So by not calling it during the game, they sort of justify the fact that they're not going to call it at the end of the game. Right. Now, that changes a little bit in a clutch last play situation if a guy drives to the basket. But perhaps even more so in a situation like that, they don't want to make the call because they don't want to decide the game by a referee's call. Yeah. And that's the reason that they're doing this. But the league has always geared – that's why when you see the officials – you know, I tell people, if you really want to follow the game or you want to figure out who's doing what or what's being called or made, just keep your eye on the officials. Forget about the players. Watch the officials, and you can understand exactly what's happening the moment it happens. It takes a while to learn their calls and stuff like that. But, for instance, an inbounds play, okay? And you know this is one of my pet peeves. It's a five-second count. Well, it's not 5 seconds. It's more like 6 or sometimes 7 seconds.
Right.
Because if you watch the referee, watch him count, and that ain't 5 seconds. If you stand in front of your microwave and count down with your microwave counting down, 5 seconds happens quick. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 seconds. If you watch an NBA count, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then by then the guy's calling timeout because he knows he's about ready to run out of, you know, time. Right. So they do that because they want the offense to have the advantage. Well, they want them to get the ball inbound.
And nobody pays to see a ticky tack call like that. If it's at all close, let it happen. When opposing fans are counting Giannis's free throw time, that's 11.
And they just started doing that.
11 or 12 seconds. Who gives a fuck? It's 11 or 12 versus 10. Let's just get on with it.
And listen, and they made a way to get around that too. Have you noticed that?
No.
They hold the ball while he goes through his motions before they pass him the ball now.
Okay.
They didn't used to do that. They used to pass him the ball. He'd do the whole shtick, and they'd count, and they had to count. But, you know, it was interesting because ABC, when all of this became a big controversy, because the referees never used to count 10 seconds. You have 10 seconds to shoot once you get the ball. If you watched the officials, and I'm watching them right now, they're not counting while Joel Embiid is at the free throw line because they know he's going to get it in within 10 seconds. But because Giannis took so much time and somebody drew attention to it, they had to start counting.
Right.
So then ABC put a clock on it, okay? I think Mike Breen was doing the game, and they put a clock on it. Well, you can't do that because the officials count is going to give him 11 or 12 seconds, whereas a clock is a clock, and that's going to count a literal 10 seconds, and, of course, he's going to go way over, and then everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why the referees now hold the ball, let him go through his motions, and then they pass him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many inconsistencies. Another one that really drives me crazy, which they should just do away of, is there's a rule that says when the free throw shooter cannot step into the paint before the ball hits the rim, okay? Well, watch some of these guys. James Harden does it every time. His foot is, and I've taken pictures of this. I've sent them to Scott Foster. We go back and forth all the time. And
NBA referee Scott Foster, who I believe is an Annapolis resident.
He went to Maryland, and he went to Magruder High, and he's a local guy and a great guy.
Yeah,
one of the best referees in the league. And I said, Scott, come on, and I'll freeze frame it, and the guy's got his foot in the lane before the ball has hit the rim. And I say, Scott, isn't this a violation? And he'll say, it is a violation, but you know it's not going to be called unless it's at a critical time and the guy's shooting a free throw and he gets the rebound. Then you should call that. But that always bothered me because it just never called. The other thing that's called that isn't is crazy to me is the kickball violation. The rule says it must be intentional. Well, how many times have you seen a guy throw the ball at somebody's leg or somebody's foot and it hits off their foot? They didn't intentionally kick it, but they call kicking every single time.
Right, right. There's never any discretion on that.
Yeah. It's supposed to be intentional, but it's not. So there's a lot of inconsistencies in every sport, not just basketball, but in every sport. But there's a lot in the NBA. The other thing I noticed, too, doing a lot of JMU games, which I did this year, and you'll be surprised at this, they call traveling much more in the NBA than they do in college.
No way.
Much more.
I do not believe it.
Absolutely much more. And I'll tell you when they call it. And they got on this kick a few years ago. When a guy catches the ball, say, way out on the wing or free throw line extended or way out, you know, and he quickly catches the ball and then makes a move and picks up his pivot foot before the ball hits the ground. They call that in the NBA every single time. What they don't call is when a big man is in the paint and he shuffles his feet to get better position. You rarely see that called. Maybe one time out of 100 you might see it called. They never call that. So that's why I say there's some inconsistencies. In college ball, I saw guys travel all the time and they never call it. And you know why? Because if they did, they wouldn't be able to play a college game. They'd be stopping the play every 20 seconds for a traveling violation.
I get it. I do wish it was more consistent. I will say I think the NBA has done a good job. As just a final point, they've weeded out some of the more, shall we say, antagonistic referees with retirement and whatnot. So while the NBA refs are not perfect, they don't seem to have grudges anymore. But maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. And believe me, the Tim Donaghy incident changed everything, not only in the NBA, but really in all sports because really of replay. Replay has come about because of what happened with Tim Donaghy and the scandal whatever you want to call it, fixing games or giving out information, stuff like that.
All that stuff, gambling, rigging. Bad stuff.
Yeah, everything you see with the NBA especially, but every league, but especially basketball with regard to transparency is because of Donaghy and the incident. It used to be that the NBA, you didn't know who was refereeing a game until they walked out on the court, okay?
Now you can go on,
9 o'clock in the morning, anybody can go on NBA.com and find out who's refereeing. That's part of the transparency. The thing they do, which really is kind of nonsensical, but they call it the last two-minute report, where the NBA comes out each game and says, after they've reviewed the last 2 minutes and overtime, whether or not an official made the right call, the wrong call, or didn't make the call at all. And they do that because they want to be known as being transparent. They don't want to hide anything. Right. I say it's nonsensical because it doesn't change anything.
They can't fix it, but at least they say, here's where we fucked up. I actually like the L2M report, even though it seems like an exercise in futility. I actually like it.
But what I don't mind it either, but what it does is it serves to incense the teams that had a call wrong against them and couldn't do anything about it.
I know. But so, they knew the call was wrong.
You're right about the officials, though. Back in the day when officials were really part of the game, like Earl Strom and Mendy Rudolph, and I mean, I'm going way back, but, you know,
Jack Madden and Jake O'Donnell.
Yes. I mean, they were part of the game, and to me, it was entertaining. I loved it. But
Joey Crawford. Steve Javy.
Yeah, Jack and Joey Crawford was great. Yeah, well, Jack Knees, I love it. You're going way back. Joey Crawford was great. He's still one of my favorite referees of all time. Just a no-nonsense, blue-collar referee out of Philadelphia, and I loved him. But now, you know, they want to be not a non-issue, and they've learned how to communicate with the players, communicate with the coaches, you know, be very sort of low-keyed if they can, don't show any emotion. Absolutely, and they've done a good job. And listen, these officials are the best in the world. You may yell at them and think that they don't know what they're doing, and it's not like they just walked out onto the court to referee a game. They go through training like you can't believe. They know the rules like you can't believe. The only guy I know that knows the rules as well, if not better than the officials, is Mike Breen and maybe Al Michaels. Yeah. They're unbelievable. But these guys are the best officials you can find for the most part. There might be a few in there now, I say now, that maybe – maybe shouldn't be working, but I'm not going to say who or why.
All right. Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Last 2 minutes, speaking of the L2M, last 2 minutes here, the NBA's the NBA's TV deal with TNT and ESPN, the exclusive window to renew for those broadcasters, ends at midnight on Monday night. Obviously, the league wants more money. I think ESPN is close to being tapped out. TNT maybe the same. They pay a lot for it. Ratings have been down this year a little bit for the regular season. I think a lot of that is LeBron fatigue. The league is trying to find its new way, its new stars in this post-LeBron era that's about to begin eventually at some point. But
yep.
I think it's a good home for the NBA on ESPN and TNT. I know they're going to add Amazon. They're going to add some NBC. But it would just seem weird to me if they left these two partners for somewhere else.
I agree, and I think TNT is committed to being a big player because not only do they have this, but obviously they have the NCAA championship, you know, college basketball. True TV is part of, you know, the TNT family. And so they have a lot of venues and ways that they can broadcast games, but I think that they're sort of committed, you know, and on board, let's put it that way, because they know that this product is a moneymaker. Whether or not ratings are down or not. And, I mean, it's just too big to just let it go away. Kind of the way CBS let football go away when Fox outbid them in 1994 for the NFL, for the rights to the NFC. So I don't think they want that to happen. So they're going to – I mean, the money is outrageous, Zabe. I mean, yeah. It's billions of dollars, not millions. It's billions.
Well, and you know what? At the end of the day, what the only thing that draws eyeballs anymore to the television set is sports. So if you get out of the NBA business, I would say, well, what are you going to do then? What are you going to show?
Right.
More Seinfeld
exactly.
reruns? We've already seen them all
right.
10 times.
No.
All right.
I think TNT is married to this at this point.
All right. I get you out to Soul Plane from Snoop Dogg featuring LaToya Williams because that's where we began today. The glory days of flying charter pre-9/11. Oh, yeah. What year was 9/11 again, Buck?
2001.
Why did you say that the first time? You go, well, you know. Before 9/11, which was 2001, and I was in my head going, I don't think we need to tell people that. Maybe we do.
Well, I think some of the younger generation doesn't know what it is.
You know, you're right. There's some people listening right now that are not even 22 years old going, oh, yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, okay.
They don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Buck, you're the man. Love you, buddy. Jealous about all the golf you're playing. Let's play some golf this summer, you and I.
Ready, buddy.
Let's
ready
do it.
To play.
There we go. All right, man. We'll talk to you. But there I'm gonna keep trying though. I never let them see me sweat. I'm the first real nigga pushing it. Oh boy, oh boy. Well, look, I don't write the lyrics to the song. I didn't know that was in there, but yeah. Maybe I should watch Soul Plane. I'll watch Soul Plane followed by Sam Jackson's Snakes on a Plane. Yes. Let's end on this. To say the world is getting stranger and more fucked up all the time is almost an understatement, but you know it and I know it. Here's another one that says, wow, we're really doing this. Headline, Dutch woman is physically healthy, but choosing euthanasia legally anyhow to end her mental pain. She's 33 years old and a beautiful looking woman. Not stunning, but she is an attractive woman, 33 years old, and because in the Netherlands they have legally assisted suicide, this woman at 33, due to mental pain, is going to choose to end her life, and they're going to help her. Wow. That it. Mm-mm-mm. Now, you might say, look, this is a more humane thing. This is a better thing. If this is her choice, it gives her power to do this. Instead of something grisly like blown her brains all over a wall, excuse my voice, you know, or jumping in front of a train or off a building or a toaster in the bath. Okay, we get it. Jesus. But something to me says, new, turn around. Not what we intended. There, she may have been through the ringer with therapy and pharmaceuticals and whatever it takes to try to get her out of her funk. But shit, 33, and she's going to kill herself, legally assisted suicide, to end her mental pain. Not anything terminal sickness-wise. Wow. That is something else right there. Okay, well, I guess at least she's making the choice now. If this keeps going in this direction, guess what? Pretty soon, the government will just say, nah, okay, you've had enough. You're done now. And if you think I'm being hyperbolic, don't worry. It'll get here. Just give it time the way some countries and the way some societies and the way some idiots that live in these societies think, like, well, yeah, that makes sense. You'll get to be 75, 78, 80, 85, 90, or whatever, and you'll start using up more and more of the healthcare system. I know my parents have. And some country's going to go, you know, you old people are really expensive. You require a lot of medical care. So we're going to save some money and just say, that's it for you. We're cutting you off. Oh, and I forgot to mention this woman's name. To me, it's a sad story, but this blows me away that her name is Yolanda Fun, F-U-N. Okay, who would have thought 33-year-old Dutch woman choosing euthanasia at 33 just to end her mental pain, and her last name is Fun. Can't write that one. That'll be it for me today. Thanks so much. Thanks to Captain Buckhands for swinging on by, taking a valuable chunk of his time on one of the holiest days of the Jewish calendar to talk airplanes, NBA, referees, and more with us. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.